This is David Gardner on Actual Radio.
Hello and welcome to another Gardening Tips of the Month. Well, February, we're all glad to see the back of. What a wet month. And you know what? You know, it's still pretty stodgy out there. But of course, March is here and hopefully spring is here as well. And the garden's looking, the bulbs are looking absolutely superb. You know, one of my favourite times of the month is March and April, where all the spring bulbs come in. And I think really you can enjoy it. The one good thing about when March comes along, everything starts growing, temperature changes, and even the ground dries out because of all the plants beginning to wake up and grow, absorb all that moisture. So you'll probably find the ground will dry out fairly quickly. And of course, you know, enjoy it with all those lovely spring bulbs. A lot of people ask me about snowdrops. How do you actually split snowdrops up? Snowdrops are a little bit different to other bulbs. With other spring bulbs, you'd probably wait until they die down completely and lift them up. With snowdrops, they're slightly different. You have to split them up what we call in the green. So as soon as those flowers are finished, you can actually dig up your clumps of snowdrops and you just pull them apart and spread them around the garden where you want to grow. They prefer somewhere slightly shaded, not out in full sun. But you know, they are the start of the spring snowdrops. They do look absolutely wonderful. And they are beginning to come to the end as all the daffodils begin to flower and the crocuses. Now's the time to actually split them up and do a bit of work on those. Last month, we talked about pruning certain shrubs and that. But of course, you know, I don't blame you if they didn't go out there last month because it was very wet. So you've still got time to do it. You know, don't get carried away and you're thinking you can't prune them back. Although they're putting on growth, things like fuchsias, you can go out there and still do that pruning jobs we should have done last month. And of course, the plants you need to do is, you know, buddleias, the old butterfly tree. It's putting on lots of leaves, but if it's rather tall, cut it back by at least half its size so that it grows well through the summer months. And also, a lot of people now like the dogwoods with these lovely colourful stems. They look beautiful in the winter. To get those bright stems every year, you need to cut them back hard now. Even cut them back by 3/4 of their size and they will put on lots of new growth through the summer. It's the new growth which shine the brightest colours in the winter time, so that's why they need pruning. And flowering jasmine, the winter jasmine, as that finishes, can have a real good trim up. Flowering jasmine, the winter jasmine, bright yellow through the winter time. So it gives that bit of colour through the winter. So, you know, once them flowers fade, then's the time to actually do it. And of course, if you haven't pruned your clematis, the ones what flower late, like the Jackmannii, now's the time to give them a real good haircut. You can cut them back to a couple of really big fat shoots, which will be sprouting right down the bottom, about 3 to 4 shoots from the base. They'll put on lots of new growth through the summer, and they're beautiful flowers all summer long. And don't forget your roses. Your roses. Now, this is a tricky period for people simply because it's been a mild winter. And so roses have actually come into growth very, very early. And, you know, there's plenty of growth on them right through the winter time. And people are a little bit frightened about pruning them now because of all the new growth. You know, don't be afraid. You need to cut them back hard, especially floribunders and hybrid teas. They need to be cut back, you know, at least 3/4 their size and to a nice couple of outward facing buds. Don't worry about all that new growth that's already gone on. Just do it. Be brave. Go out there and cut them back hard. And finally, your fuchsias, my favourite plant. And I was looking at my fuchsias the other day, and yeah, they've put on lots and lots of growth already. But now, you know, I'm going to cut them back really hard. Now, the wonderful thing about fuchsias is the fact that you can keep them to whatever size you want. So if you want your fuchsia bushes to grow quite tall, then don't prune them. But if you want them to stay nice and compact, then prune them back hard. And that's the beauty about them. I've got one fuchsia I haven't pruned for about several years, and it's now about 6 foot tall and a mass of flowers all summer. But it's in a position that I want it to be that height. Yet I've got other fuchsias, but I only want to stay them out 2 or 3 foot. So I prune those ones back very hard so that they actually stay that size I want them. That's the beauty about fuchsias. You can do what you like with them. You know what? The one thing what never stops growing, and it's the one thing which, you know, grows massively right through the winter, no matter what the weather. And that's, of course, that's weeds. Weeds are a pain for everybody. I was looking around my front garden. I thought, I've got to get out there, you know. And, you know, as you get a bit older, it's a bit backbreaking. So I've bought myself one of these little kneeling stools. They're brilliant. You know, they've got two handles and a pad, and you can kneel on the stool, and I like to dig the weeds out with a trowel because I like to get right down and get those weeds out, and so that they don't come back. But these kneeling stools are marvellous, you know, and they're not expensive. And, you know, if you've got a bit of problem with the back, you can just move it around, and then when you want to get up, you've got the two handles you can pull yourself up to. But a good thing is to get rid of all those weeds. Once you've cleared the ground, the one thing about March, which you need to do now, is give everything a massive great feed. Because when you get a wet winter, it pushes all the nutrients out of the soil. So if you didn't feed it in February, now's the time to do it. And what I would use is the old, good old-fashioned chicken manure pellets. You can buy them in buckets, and it's quite cheap, but it's really good stuff. And just sprinkle it all around the garden, around all your trees, around all your shrubs, around all your plants. And if you want, you can hoe it in, but it's not really necessary. It does smell a little bit, but that smell soon goes, you know, because it's concentrated chicken manure pellets, and it's very, very good. It takes about 6 weeks for it to break down and get to the plant, just as the plants need it in the early spring, early summer, and it does amazing things for your plants. Take it from me. Now, I get a lot of people say to me, you know, I can't get on my allotment. I'd love to get out there. I'm normally planting seeds and early potatoes this time of year, but it's so wet. Yeah, it is really wet. But the main thing to remember, you know, pointless planting stuff out on an allotment if it's soaking wet. One little trick you can do is just cover an area with some polythene and peg it down. What that will do, two things. That will basically warm the soil up, but it also dry the soil out a bit. And then after about 3 weeks, you can take the polythene off. Then you can plant your early potatoes and any lettuces or anything else you actually want to plant. And it's, you know, I watch the people over near me on their allotments, and there, Canberra, where I live, is very wet and clayey. And so be careful. It is clay soil, lasts for a long time, staying wet. The one thing also to remember is if you've got a lot of containers, very popular now, containers, they need top dressing. And when you mean top dressing, just scrape the top 2 or 3 inches off the top. Get rid of that old soil. Replenish it with new potting compost. That will give those plants a real good boost. You know, this time of the year, they need it. And the thing about this time of the year is things are growing well. And so all your new perennials are shooting up through the ground. So you've got lots and lots of new shoots. What that means is plenty of food for the slugs and snails, because they haven't gone away, and they're all out. They love this weather. So few slug pellets, organic slug pellets, so they're not harmful to wildlife, and that will actually, you know, keep them away. The one thing about being mild and the temperature warming up, of course, is the black fly and green fly. I know, I couldn't believe it. I noticed I had black fly on my fuchsias already. So, you know, you've got to keep an eye out them and make sure that, you know, you keep them back, because they will attack new growth. One thing what I also say is, like, you know, if it's not too wet in the garden, you know, start thinking about lifting up. People say to me, have I missed the boat about splitting perennials? No, you haven't. You haven't missed the boat. If you've got a clump of perennials and you want to do it now. And you will do it quite successfully, and it's worth giving a try. And finally, if you've got a greenhouse, and if you're lucky enough to have a greenhouse, you know, and you want to start some plants for the young bedding plants like geraniums, like petunias, like begonias, save yourself some money. A lot of people spend a lot of time and effort trying to grow seeds, trying to heat a greenhouse. You know, nowadays, just buy the little young seedling plants. They're so cheap. You buy these little packs of seedlings, you pot them up, they grow on very quickly. It's very, very cost saving if you want lots of plants to plant out in the garden. And you know, the main thing is in a greenhouse, as it turns milder, start opening the windows. Let a bit of stop that humidity building up. Let a bit of air in that greenhouse, and that'd be fine. Lots of things going on. The spring is coming very, very quickly, and we all look forward to it. And I see you here next month. Cheerio.
Email your gardening questions to Dave the Gardener at actualradio.com.